about understanding who we are. And the message has really been geared toward saved people, people that's already saved. So if you're here, we're just telling you some of the benefits to being saved. But there's so many people in the body of Christ who have given their lives to God or have confessed salvation, but they really don't know what they got. I bet if we took a survey here today and just let you do a written survey, we'd get all kind of answers as to what did you get when you got saved. Of course, the number one issue is that you get your ticket into heaven. Amen. And that's the most important one, because we said initially that we are a spirit. And we live inside this body. We have a mind. We have a soul. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. And you live inside this body. And when the body stops functioning, the body dies. And you cannot live in it any longer. Hallelujah. I guess that's why all those demons don't go into the graveyard. They don't live no dead body. Because that it can't go nowhere. Can't do nothing. Can't communicate with folks. Can't do anything on planet Earth. So they have to get into a live body. Some of you have experienced that, whether you've known it or not. That's just the way it is. But today we want to talk about, for saved folks, as far as understanding who we are, we want to just really press the issue that you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. In your walk in life, and I don't know how old you are, or how long you've been on planet Earth or anything like that, but in your walk in life, I'm sure you ran to somebody that you thought, wow, that's a very, very smart person. I'd like to have all the stuff in their mind. You ever ran into anybody like that?
Amen.
Now, we all function at different levels, and that's good. I'm not saying that you should want what they got or anything like that, but now and then we run into people that are maybe academically or just the way they think or the way they talk, they're just at another level. And you want to say, man, I wish I knew what they knew. I wish I knew what they knew. I wish I could talk the way they talk. I wish I had the vocabulary that they have. I wish I could understand what that scientist understands.
Amen.
I wish I could understand what that physicist understands. You ever experienced anything like that?
Yeah.
Now, we don't go around telling people that we wish we could. But inside, there's something to say, man, I kind of envy that person. Hallelujah. You know, even people in the medical field, you know, especially the doctors that got to go to school for so long, and they go and they study medical terms, medical conditions, medical environments. So naturally, they're going to know more about that world than the average person who has not been experienced to that. Did that make sense? Does it make sense?
Yes.
It doesn't put them at a higher level than anybody else, but in that world, they just know what some other people don't know.
Amen.
Well, today I want to tell you, listen, no matter who you've experienced or what their giftings are or anything like that, once you get saved, you got the mind of Christ. Now, let me tell you something. That'll blow your mind right now, thinking about it. You got the mind of Christ. What does that mean, preacher? That means what Christ knows, you know. Uh-oh, now you're getting out of the box.
Amen.
If you had my mind, then you would know what I know. Mm-hmm. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
If you had my mind, you would know what I know. So if you have the mind of Christ, then inside in your spirit, which is the real you, you know what God knows. But our problem is that we don't know what we know. So you can't take advantage of anything you don't know you've got. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So today God said, let them know that they already have the mind of Christ. And they have to learn, come on, they have to learn to bring that information to an environment in which they can use it when they need it. But if you don't even have a clue, if you don't even have a clue of what you got, you'll just never, ever use it. And that's a shame. Now, it doesn't make you a bad Christian. It doesn't mean you're going to miss heaven or anything else like that at all. It just simply means, listen, that you will not be able to fully use all the resources available to you at any given time. That's all that is. Now, when I stand up here and say you as a Christian have the mind of Christ, now aren't you hoping that I'm telling the truth?
Amen.
You see, some folks are doubting. But you say, no, there's no way. There's no way I could have the mind of Christ. Well, see, your born-again spirit came with the mind of God. That's what happens when you get saved. You don't become a good person. The old you dies, and you get a whole new spirit. And you are a spirit. In other words, you become a whole new person. You become like God in the spirit. Oh, I wish we had time to really talk about this. I wish you really wanted me to talk about this. Hallelujah. It's a shame that so many of us are going to die without fully understanding who we are or what we got. Or why God even allowed us to get saved. When we were singing some of the songs here today, I'm saying, okay, all right. A week before I die, I'm going to just tell the congregation all that I know. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be nice? I guess, I don't know. But you know, in these 44 years of being saved, I've learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know on day one. I have. And because of that, my lifestyle, my mind, my mindset, everything is different for me. Better, I think it's better. So I'm saying, wouldn't it be nice if everybody that got saved and grew in the Lord, and just before they die, they tell you everything they knew about the Lord?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, a week before I die, I'm going to tell you everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says this. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? And then the next part starts off with but we have the mind of Christ. So that's not my idea. That's not my idea at all. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinthians and letting them know, if you're saved, you've got the mind of Christ.
Amen.
But we're so focused on everyday life and the good and the bad that, you know, we really haven't taken the time to give the number one priority to the Word of God and letting that Word get in us and make about a change so that we can learn how to utilize the access to the mind of Christ. We give everything else top priority in our lives, everything. I guarantee you switch that out and start giving that Word a little bit more time. Hallelujah. Some things going to come out of the mind of Christ into you. In your spirit, there's a mind that already knows all things. I know some folks saying, I really wish that was true. But in your new spirit, there's a mind that knows all things. When you were born again, you receive the mind of Christ in your spirit. That's what the Word is talking about. However, your spirit mind doesn't have to be developed. Your spirit mind doesn't have to be trained. Your spirit mind doesn't have to be taught. Why? Because it was born again in perfect knowledge. The Bible says God's people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Sometimes we boohoo and cry and beg and plead with God to help us with this and help us with that. And God is saying all the time, the knowledge, listen, that you need to go to the next step is already there. What I'm learning to do, now you get this before my week before death. You get this now. What I have learned to do is when I ran into situations or things that I consider to be trial, instead of getting upset, instead of trying to figure out what I'm going to do, I just go somewhere and get quiet.
Amen.
And let the mind of Christ speak to me. and tell me what to do.
Amen.
And when it comes, a peace comes. I always tell you, follow peace, right?
Amen.
But as long as I'm in a conscious level where I'm constantly trying to do something, trying to figure it out. Because in my X number of years of living, you know, a whole bunch of knowledge have come. But how many of you know things don't come up that your past experience never had to deal with?
Amen.
So what do you do? When I'm telling you what to do now, you just go somewhere and get quiet. Get quiet. Now I'm talking to the saved folks. Get quiet and let God just speak to you. Let the mind of Christ just come right on out. Hallelujah. Your spirit mind and your physical mind, you need to understand, are two separate entities within you. Two different things. Two different things. When they don't agree, double-mindedness occurs. And that's what happens a lot of times with folks confessing salvation. Their spirit mind is telling them to go this way, but their natural mind is telling them to go that way. Especially when it comes to doing things that are conflicting with the Word of God. And there may be somebody here right now, you're a good person. You're a good person. But there's still some doors open in your life that the devil keeps open so that he can get to you. And so your spirit mind said, don't go that way. But your natural mind that's being led by your physical body is saying, hey, go this way. Go this way. You can't be led by your physical body or your physical mind. You must be led by your spiritual mind. Does that make sense to anybody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if you're here today and you're wrestling with that, you're saying, listen, I know I gave my life to the Lord. I know I'm saved, but I keep doing this. And I keep doing that. And the devil keep tricking me here. Why am I going through this? I know I'm saved. Well, you keep going through that because you're double-minded. You're double-minded. Amen? Your spirit believes one thing, but your mind, your physical mind believes a whole different thing. And you go through all kinds of crazy torment. Hallelujah. James 4 and 8. He says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart. What does he call them? You double-minded. He's talking to those folks that's confessing, listen, to be led by their spirit mind. But in reality, they're being led by their physical mind. And when I say they're being led by their physical mind, chances are they're really not led by their physical mind. They're led by their body. They're led by something that looks good, smells good, tastes good, sounds good, feel good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got this situation going on now in our culture. Well, one after another, a lot of spiritual leaders are being caught doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Because they're contrary to the Word of God. And you say, well, how do these spiritual people get caught up like that? And the answer to that is that they have been double-minded for a while. You can't be double-minded. The Bible says, choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? And you, let me tell you something. You're going to see more and more spiritual leaders in this culture falling. Not necessarily because they're bad people, but because they've been double-minded. They've been double-minded. And the word to us today is that we got to become single-minded. Our natural mind and our spiritual mind has got to say the same thing. The key to the Christian life is training your physical mind to agree with your spiritual mind, which is the mind of Christ. Oh, yeah, you're going to be challenged. See, a lot of times we know some of the things we're doing aren't right. We know they're not right. And we know they don't line up with the Word of God. We know that. But for some crazy reason, the devil keeps telling, don't worry about it. Nobody will know. Well, you keep doing it. Amen? Amen. You keep letting your physical mind, hallelujah, control your physical body, and see, don't let this thing catch up with you. It's just the way it is. But the secret to that is to become single-minded, where your spirit mind and your physical mind are saying the same thing.
Amen.
They're lining up with the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your born-again spirit always agrees with God. Everybody say always.
Always.
Never, never, never an exception. Never. Never. So when your physical mind tells you to do something that don't line up with the Word of God, hallelujah, you got a choice to make. Do I line up myself with my spiritual mind, or I just follow my physical mind and do what my body wants to do? You've got the mind of Christ inside you. Hallelujah. You don't really need anybody. I'm talking to born again people. You don't really need anybody to really guide you. Hallelujah. God is a good God. When your natural mind thinks the same way as your spiritual mind, then you're single-minded. You're single-minded. It took me a while to get single-minded, I tell you. It did. It just took me a little while after I got saved to become single-minded. But I realized and paid a few prices because of that. But I realized, hey, I can't live my life like this. I've got to, hallelujah.
Amen.
I've got to be single-minded. You've heard people say, all right, if you're going to be saved, be saved. In everything you do, everything you say, every place you go, every thought you have, be saved. Your spirit mind always, always thinks the way God thinks. Always.
Amen.
Always. Because you've got the mind of Christ in your spirit. You got it.
Amen.
You didn't have to do anything to get it. When you got saved, you got the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Single-mindedness brings stability to your life. And that's what the devil constantly tries to do. He tries to keep us double-minded, doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing because it's contrary to the mind of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he wants your life to be unstable.
That's right.
That's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants. He wants it. I shared that testimony as a child. You know how I used to go into Winn-Dixie and I had my Winn-Dixie pea coat. My Winn-Dixie pea coat didn't have any holes in the pockets, but it had a good lining. So I could go into Winn-Dixie, and I was 11, 12 years old, whatever, and I could just line my pocket. I could just drop it in my pockets. Amen? And it would just go down to the lining of the coat. And nobody knew the difference. But I knew the difference. But I wasn't saved. Are you with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. My mind said, you can have what you want. But that was a lie. Because in order to get what I wanted, I had to violate Scripture. But at the time, let me tell you something, Scripture didn't mean anything to me. But now that we're saved, let me tell you something. Come on now. Now that I'm saved, there's no way in the world. No way in the world the devil's going to tempt me to go in anybody's store and take something out of it. Are you with me? Because soon as that thought comes, the Spirit of God said that does not line up with the mind of Christ.
Amen.
That does not line up with the Spirit of Christ. Can the devil tempt us? You better believe it.
Amen.
He may not be able to tempt you with the same thing he tempts me with, but he can tempt all of us, but we don't have to yield to that temptation.
Amen.
But unless your mind, come on, is lined up, your body's mind is lined up with the Spirit of God and the mind of Christ, you may do anything.
Amen.
I'm telling you what I know. I don't know why Christians don't want to know the truth. Well, preacher, I ain't going to do anything. Well, if you're double-minded, you will.
That's right. Amen.
I'm telling you that. Well, I've been saved for 20 years. I've been saved for 50 years. I've been saved. But if you're double-minded, you may do anything. Because there's a devil. And he's trying to get you. Come on now. Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
God is good. Once again, single-mindedness means stability in your life, but double-mindedness causes instability. You will never be stable and be double-minded. You just can't. You know, that thing will be, it'll haunt you. It'll be on your mind all the time. All the time. But it starts off understanding, brothers and sisters, that if once you get saved, you have the mind of Christ. You want to, come on now, You want to know what God says? You want to know what Christ would do? Just get quiet somewhere. And you'll hear right in your spirit exactly what you need to do. Let's go to James chapter 1 and look at verse 5 through 8. He talks about that double-minded man. Hallelujah. Come on now. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, at my level of stability now, spiritual stability right now, the devil knows. Listen, he know and I know. He can't come to me with no foolishness.
Amen.
He can't. He really can't. So what he tries to do is he tries to attack all the people that's around me. Amen? That's what he'll do. He say, all right, you won't open that door? I'm going to get this one. And I'm going to get this one. And I'm going to get this one. And his whole goal is to try to make a breach in my protection somewhere so he can get in there, but I ain't letting him in there. You letting him in there?
No.
Hallelujah. We're going to be single-minded, folks.
Amen.
Amen? Our natural mind's always going to be lined up with our spiritual mind.
Amen.
We're always going to think of the things of God. The Bible talks about think on things that are lovely, think on things that appear, think on things that are true. If there be any truth in it, think on those things. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every now and then, listen, every now and then, the devil's bringing up, you remember those old Winn-Dixie days? I say, I do not. I say, you a lying wonder. I don't remember nothing. And he say, you lying. You remember what you did. I don't remember nothing.
Amen. That's right.
But I remember. But I ain't agreeing with him. Because he wants me to think about how easy it was for me to go in there and steal those people's fruits or whatever I was stealing so that I could be tempted, come on now, to go somewhere else and do the exact same thing. Maybe not the same way, but the exact same thing. So when he comes, I say, no, you're a lying wonder. That ain't me. That ain't me. Yeah. And he'll try to tell you, say, yeah, that's you. No, that is not me. That is not me. Not at all. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally, as much as you need. That's what he's saying. And upbraid it not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and toss. Now verse 7 says this. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now let's stop right there. Listen. But he's saying, listen, you got to be single-minded. You can call yourself saved and may be saved. All right? You may be saved. But if your natural mind's not lining up with your spiritual mind, then you're double-minded. And that verse 7 said, listen, if you're double-minded, and I throw that word in there, if you're double-minded, don't think you're going to get anything of the Lord.
Amen.
If there's one secret I can share with you before I die, is to get single-minded. Don't even let a thought that doesn't line up with the will and the way and the word of God cross your mind. And when it comes, if it comes, just get it out with the word of God. James said, don't let those double-minded people think they're going to get anything from the Lord. You're going to have to decide what team you're on. You're on God's side or the devil's side.
Amen.
One or the other. We compromise too much, especially with people that we want to be close to us. Maybe they're confessing salvation, but their action is totally different. And when they come around performing or saying or discussing their own actions, we don't stand up for the word of God. We don't say, no, you're not supposed to be doing that. No, you're not supposed to be saying that. Let me show you in the word of God what God says about that. Because we're so afraid of losing those relationships. You better let them all go. Amen? Unless they can prove to you that they have a heaven that they're in control of. You better let it all go. Just let it go. And then in verse 8, he says, listen, He tells you, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't pretend that you're saved. Come on now. And I'm going to tell you another secret. You don't have to prove to me that you're saved at all, because I have no heaven or hell to put you in. This thing is between you, God, and eternity. That's it. He says a double-minded man is unstable in everything he does or she does. Unstable. So knowing that we have the mind of Christ inside of us, and you do, whether you understand that intuitively or not, you have the mind of Christ inside you if you've been born again. That means you have the answers to all things, hallelujah, just waiting for you to tap into it. So why be double-minded? See, it takes effort to renew your physical mind to agree with your spirit mind. It won't just happen automatically. Basically, this is where the conflict in the Christian life lies. In the mind, in your spirit, you know all things. All things. The problem comes when the mind, your physical mind is not lined up with your spiritual mind. Or if I can get you to understand this and believe it, hallelujah, that the answers to all your questions are already there inside you, because you have the mind of Christ, but you don't know it. You don't know it. We're so busy comparing ourselves with other human beings. You don't need to do that. Amen. You don't need to do that. You need to understand that we all equipped and called to do different things. Why would I go to 8 years of medical school? Come on. Why would I go to 8 years of medical school if my job was, I just want to be a street cop? Does that make sense to anybody?
No.
That don't make sense to anybody. But if you got a heart and desire to be a street cop, that's not a bad thing. Amen. It's just that God has called you to do something different. So stop comparing yourself with other folks. You've got the mind of Christ inside you. You know everything you need to know. And that which has not reached your natural mind yet, just get somewhere quiet and ask God to reveal it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:20 says this. But you have an unction from the Holy One. And you know how many things? How many things? That sounds so strange to us. For some of you, the first time you even saw that in the Bible. But you know all things. All right? You know all things. It's available to you. It's almost like having a library, but if you never go to the library, you're not going to get it. You're just not going to get it. God don't want you and I to walk around like we are walking encyclopedia or anything like that. But when you need something, it's already in you. You've got the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In your spiritual mind, you know everything Jesus knows.
Amen.
Now, that'll blow your mind. Because you say, well, look, Jesus has been here forever, you know, even before that. I'm not trying to make you totally understand it. But I'm trying to just make you aware that it's there. If you're aware that it's there and you need that, listen, you need the mind of Christ on any given occasion. If you just go somewhere and get quiet, you're not going to be the same today after the day.
Amen.
Those of you that do that, just when you run into a complex situation, just get somewhere and go get quiet and let the Spirit of God and the mind of Christ start speaking to you, because it's already there. Hallelujah. You're going to get so happy. Listen, you're going to be like a child with a lollipop. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. How many times have you faced things that it just kind of just blow your little world apart because you didn't know what to do? Is it anybody here ever went through that? But now you don't have to go through that anymore. I know somebody said, don't listen to that pastor. He's half crazy anyway. But you don't have to go through that anymore, because now you know you've got the mind of Christ, all right? You can't access it because you're so busy trying to do whatever you're doing in this natural world that you can't go to the library and pull it up. But just go get quiet somewhere. And to know what the devil say, you know, this situation is so tragic and so important, you ain't got time to get quiet. You need to tell that devil, shut up. I'm going to get quiet. I'm going to get somewhere where nobody's talking to me. I'm going to turn off that telephone. Come on now. I'm going to tap into this mind of Christ that this preacher said that I got. And I dare you. I just dare you. Just get quiet. Sometimes we get quiet, but we're still thinking in our minds. Stop it. Stop it. You don't know enough. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in that situation. Stop it. Just get quiet and let those answers just flow. Just, I'm telling you what I know now. Just let it flow. Just let it flow. Sometimes people do you things or say something to you, and you don't know why that person is acting that way or say that thing to you. Go get quiet.
Amen.
Just go get quiet. Get quiet and get with God. And let that mind of Christ be activated for you. God will show you things that you've never seen before. Hallelujah. You got to get that mind of Christ. How do you think those 11 apostles did what they did in the book of Acts? They were just human just like you and I. How'd they do the things that they did? How'd they know the things that they knew? Somehow or another, they became aware that they had the mind of Christ in them, and they operated that way. There's nothing I can say here today to really, really drive that thing home to you to the point where you got it. You got it. You got it. You're going to have to just try this thing. I'm not wishing any bad situation upon anybody, but things happen. And when they happen, situation happen, go get quiet and tap into that mind of Christ.
Amen.
Because it's there for you.
Amen.
It's just there. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
How do we access the mind of Christ? First and foremost, you must believe you've already got it. Everybody say, I already got it.
Already got it.
Hallelujah. Now, I hope you're saved here today, because those folks that are saved, they're the ones that got it. Amen. We're not supposed to be just good folks in the community. Hallelujah. There's supposed to be something different about us. And one of the things is, listen, is that we've learned to tap into the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. God is just so, hallelujah. Some of you are going to start believing this. Some of you are going to start listening for that mind of Christ. Some of you are going to start putting that time aside and just hearing what God is saying to you. And your situation is going to change. And you're going to be a happy camper. You can't release something that you don't really believe you have. You just can't. You just won't believe that. At all. People have been going to church for years. It just never really came to the reality of that they have the mind of Christ. They're always looking for somebody else to give them the answer. Look, there's nothing wrong with talking to people. There's nothing. That's not what I'm saying. But there's something better. Hallelujah. When you talk to the Lord. There's something better when you let God give you answers to whatever situation you're dealing with. That's something better that man could never, ever replicate in your life. Nothing. But if you don't know you've got the mind of Christ, you just won't be able to take advantage of it. Hallelujah. Let's say something about studying God's word. Studying God's word will draw out the wisdom that is in your spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't have to take inventory. I know even some of the folks in here, you're just not in the word like you need to be in the word. But when you start studying the word, it'll just draw out the wisdom. Hallelujah. That's in your spirit. It's like going to that library and pulling it out. When you're reading the Bible, you're receiving words with your physical eyes that are spirit and life. That's why you got to get into that word. Don't just look at it, read it. As you take this knowledge into your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. As you take this knowledge into your soul, new thoughts and ideas come to your physical mind. Because why? Because you're tapping into that spiritual mind, that mind of Christ. Oh, your life could be, all of our lives could be so much better if we did this more frequently, more regularly.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. None of us is that smart. None of us. I don't care what kind of education you got. None of us. Because you're going to run into things that your education just don't answer for you. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you take this knowledge into your soul, we said, new thoughts and ideas come to your physical mind. When this happens, your spirit, which always has the truth in the mind of Christ, will bear witness with it. It will. We're supposed to be brand new creatures. A man being Christ, he's a what? New creature. Come on, brothers and sisters, it's time to become new. Come on, amen?
Amen.
Just because you changed church buildings don't mean anything really changed in you. It's time to become new. Come on, to this world. And the way you become new is you start tapping into this mind of Christ like never, ever before. Once you learn to tap into the mind of Christ, you're going to look good no matter where you work, no matter what you do, no matter what your assignment is, because you're going to be getting directions and answers direct straight from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How would you like for God to just leave you a note on a notepad every day, every morning on your side of your bed, directly from God? A hand just appears somewhere, just a hand. Now, I know at first you'll jump out the bed because you're scared. Where'd that hand come from? But suppose that happens. Suppose every morning a hand just came out and just started writing on your little notepad by your door, by your bed. And it just said, do this today, do this today, take care of this, go this way, don't do this, that, do that. Hallelujah. Now, you'd be afraid at first, but when you start following those instructions and they start really blessing your life, listen, you can't wait till you wake up the next morning. You'll be disappointed if you don't see a hand there. God said, I want to do this. I want to do this for you, not just in the morning, all day long. All day long. Because you got the mind of Christ in you. Now you just got to tap in there. But we're too busy. And we're too hard-headed. We're just so stubborn. Our way or no way. Come on now. Come on. You got anybody ever done you wrong? You had anybody done you wrong recently? Listen, why don't you just get quiet and say, God, show me something I didn't know before. Show me something about this particular individual. Show me the background of whatever happened or whatever was said or whatever was done. But you got to get quiet to hear it. And I guarantee you, you'll hear something that you never even thought of. God will show you some things that you didn't know, could not have known, no way at all. No way. No way. Hallelujah. I have to do that as a pastor of a church. Listen, I don't know if all pastors do it, but I wish they did. You know, I have to do that. When I suspect that things aren't going right with any of the people that attend the church regularly, I have to go somewhere and get quiet and get in a corner and say, all right, I'm going to shut up. Because you got to shut up. I'm going to shut up, God. Now you tell me what I need to know about that individual so I'll know how to pray. And it has yet to fail. Or maybe somebody's sick or somebody's going through. I'm saying, God, I'm not a doctor. I'm not this. I'm not that. Show me how to pray for this individual's turnaround in their situation. And if I get quiet and I hear God, come on. Now, if I try to play doctor at my dinner table and try to figure out what they got, it don't work. But if I go to God, hallelujah, if I go to God and get quiet, God will say, hey, pray for this, pray for that, pray for that. And that's what I do. That's what I do. And then if I pray for that particular thing, I expect some sort of manifestation of change. Because that's what God said to do. Don't miss this mind of Christ. You got it already.
Amen.
You got it. If you got born again, you got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Let me tell you a little bit about praying in tongues. I'm running out of my little time here, just a minute. Praying in tongues is another powerful way to release the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Some of you have never been taught about praying in tongues. Some of you may have been taught against it. You say, oh, that's what those Pentecostal folks do. Don't mess with that. Don't mess with that. Amen. Well, I don't have no Pentecostal book. I just got a Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just got a Bible. That's the only book we ever use here is a Bible.
Amen.
So I'm going to just tell you what's inside that Bible. And then you and God, in your quiet time, let God work that out. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 and 2. He's telling us some of the things that we need to do. He says, follow after love or charity. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. He said, that's what we should be doing, not a problem. But rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Now, he was talking about the difference between praying in tongues and just coming and giving a prophecy to a group. But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So he said, as you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking mysteries, but you're speaking it to God. He says, when you pray in the spirit, you are speaking mysteries because your spirit is praying. Amen. It's not your physical mind, but it's your spirit. And it's the mind of Christ that is praying when you're praying in tongues. And then in verse 14 of that same chapter, he says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit pray it. But my understanding is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying. That's what he's saying. It's unfruitful. He said, it's my spirit that's praying, but it's praying directly to God. You build yourself up by praying in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, in verse 4, he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up or edifies himself. The mind of Christ, brothers and sisters, listen. In your spirit, praise when you pray in tongues. You don't know what to pray about, pray in tongues. For those of you that have been introduced to the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We used to have a regular class on Saturday, Sunday morning that covered part of that and let you know a little bit more about that. But that's just simply another way to pray in spirit, because it's your spirit that's praying. A lot of times things come up and you just don't know what to pray about. You don't even know the questions to ask God. Amen. But when you get in your quiet time with God, your quiet place, just pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Your goal, listen, the mind of Christ in your spirit prays when you pray in tongues. And we said that. Your goal is to facilitate single-mindedness. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get your physical mind lined up with your spiritual mind. Hallelujah. And when that happened, hallelujah, something else happens. Something else happens. I know as a ministry, we've done so many things that just don't line up with our natural minds. I mean, I think it was Brother Earl. Brother Earl was speaking at the men's fellowship yesterday. You know, he was reminding us how when God told us to sow $10,000 into another ministry, you know, when we had very little money at the time. And he was just sharing with us that some of the people just didn't really understand that. And they were smiling, and I understand that. And I'm glad they were smiling. I'm glad they didn't throw eggs at me or anything like that. You know? But he was saying, some of the people said, well, why would he give away $10,000 or $15,000 to other ministries when we ain't got hardly nothing? Well, the answer to that is you're sitting in it.
Amen.
You think you could buy this building for $10,000?
No.
Are you with me?
No.
You think you could buy the Family Resource Center building for $10,000?
No.
You think you could buy building one, building two, building three, or building four, the child care center for $10,000?
No.
But because God revealed to us in the spirit that we needed to sow that seed when we really couldn't afford to sow the seed, and we were obedient to that, hey, man. Of course, it don't make sense to our natural minds. It doesn't make sense. Our natural minds say, well, if we want to build a church, why don't we just have a donut drive? Do you know how many donuts you got to sell? But see, when you get the mind of Christ and hear what God is telling you to do and do it, God knows and almighty, you're going to see some stuff.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, you've got the mind of Christ. You've got the mind of Christ. Your goal, once again, is to facilitate single-mindedness, where your spirit mind lines up with your natural mind, and they're on one accord. See, you aren't trying to get the word into your spirit because the mind of Christ already knows all things. Us. You're trying to get God's word into your soul, into your mind. Why? So that your spirit can bear witness to it and you could be single-mindedness. That's the goal to this thing. When we become single-mindedness, hallelujah, our bodies will just follow. Our bodies will just follow.
Amen.
God got to remember that. Our bodies will just follow. The body is not controlled by the spirit. The body is controlled by the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when your mind is lined up with your spirit, the body just got to do what the word say do.
Amen.
There's no other way to do this thing. But as long as you're double-minded and think, yeah, I can confess salvation, but I can still do this, you're going to have a problem. And pretty soon that problem is going to be more than you can handle. I'm telling you what I know. All right? So God said, tell the people, listen, that they already got the mind of Christ. Become single-minded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Let me take you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. He said, for he that speaketh in unknown tongues, speaketh not unto men. Remember we read that? But unto God. For no man understand him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. And the question is, what are these mysteries that we're speaking? Well, 1 Corinthians 2 and 7 talks toward that. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hallelujah. If we ever understood this whole thing that we're dealing with is about the purpose and the plan of God. God said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So I brought you forth to do a certain purpose and have a certain plan in your life. I brought you forth to do a certain thing. Sister Eva, I'm going to cut this a little bit short, but Sister Eva talked this morning, and she talked a little bit and used the scriptures, talked about Moses, how the devil tried to get rid of Moses. I don't know if you've given a lot of thought to that. But see, God knew who Moses was before he was even born. God knew the purpose and the plan he had for Moses. Are you with me?
Amen.
He had for Moses. One man, one man, one man. God knew that before he was even born. Like he knew you before you were even born. I know everybody ain't gonna buy that, but you better start buying that. You still have to start believing that. You better start believing God has a purpose for your life and a plan for your life. See, we go around just asking God to bless us, bless this, bless this, bless this. Get in the will of God. You're going to get blessed. But we don't understand. We really don't understand that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives before we were in our mother's wombs. Moses, one man. That one man, come on now, one man in the fullness of time, God sent that one man and his brother to deliver, come on, over 2 million slaves from one of the world's most powerful rulers. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you do that? How you walk into the Pharaoh and basically say, give me your money? No, he didn't say, give me your money. He said, give me your money maker. Give me the thing that makes your money. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. All 2+ million of them. How you do that? One man. And the devil tried hard to get him. He tried hard. You are important to God. I want you to understand that. You're not just another person here in the city of a hospital. You're very, very important to God. But until you understand the plan and the purpose, until you tap into the mind of Christ, you'll always just be doing your thing. When we become single-minded, amen. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. There's a wisdom that proceeds from your born-again spirit. And that wisdom, I call it the mind of Christ. And there's a wisdom that comes from your physical brain. That's something that somebody has taught us somewhere along the line. Hallelujah. Pray in tongues when you study God's word. And as you do, you'll release the mind of Christ into your soulish realm through revelation knowledge. As you read the word more and more, you'll get more and more revelations of the truth. We play with this thing. We got to stop playing with it. You've got the mind of Christ. Now you need to tap into it.
Amen.
Now you need to know what you didn't know before. Now you need to be led by what you wasn't led, being led with before. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13 says this. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, just because you pray in tongues and ask God for interpretation doesn't mean that you should accept any and every thought that comes to your mind as being from God. That's why I always tell you, follow the peace. Amen. You must judge every thought by what, preacher? By the word of God. Because it's not going to count. God's, what God say to you is never going to contradict his word. Never. 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 Absolutely never. God, when in your prayer time, God never going to tell you, go put on the Winn-Dixie coat. Because I know where some good stuff is. He's not going to do that. He's never going to do that. Never, ever. And hallelujah. You must judge every thought by the word of God.
Amen.
1 John 5, 7. Last scripture. Says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. These three, brothers and sisters, never disagree. Why? Because God's word never contradicts spiritual truth. You have the mind of Christ inside you.
Amen.
You got it already. You just got to get quiet enough to tap into it. Meditating God's word, speaking in tongues, and receiving interpretation is what I call the fast track to single-mindedness and manifestation. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. All the time. God has blessed us with the mind of Christ. Don't let it go to waste. Don't let it go to waste. There's a lot that we can learn from each other. Believe me, there is a lot. But there's so much more we can learn as we tap into the mind of Christ, which we already have. We just don't know we got it. Let's go to God in prayer.
Amen.
Father God, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for revealing to us that we have the mind of Christ. Not fully understanding what all that means, Lord God, but knowing, hallelujah, that we can move toward discovering more and more and more about accessing that mind of Christ. We thank you for it. Now, if there's any person in the sound of my voice, hallelujah.